Welcome back. 104.5 The Zone, 7:04. This is the Wake Up Zone with Mark Howard, Blaine Bishop, our producer, Morgan Alexander. I'm Kevin Ingram. Joining us from the Nashville Post for the 7 o'clock hour. Always one of our favorite spots every week. David Beauclair, presented by the Tennessee Lottery. They're proud to have raised more than $4.7 billion for education. David, what's going on?
I'm wet.
Yeah?
It's raining out there.
Yeah.
But
that started after I got here, I guess. Yeah, these two came in here the same way.
It's kind of messy out there right now, but I really enjoyed Sunday night. I don't know how much you guys talked about it or watched it, but Caleb Plant, Ashland City's own, became a world boxing champion, and I've covered Caleb for about 3 years now. It was fun to watch. He was ready for his moment. He was really good, really sharp. Got tested along the way, and at some point here in the near future, he's bringing a title belt back to Ashland City. So that'll be fun.
He has an interesting story, though, right?
A tough story, and grew up without a lot. Talked about living in office buildings for a time and not knowing when his next meal was coming from, and then as a young man. Became a father, younger than most, but his daughter was born with a really just hideous disease where, the doctors told her she'd live probably a matter of weeks. She ended up living 19 months, but was, most of the time in the hospital and having all kinds of seizures a day and everything. But, the first time you meet him and, he's willing to talk about these things. He's a genuine, he says things that a lot of combat sports guys say, the way he talks about his opponent and the things he's going to do and makes predict, a lot of bluster and bravado, but there's also a genuine person there that, you feel like with a lot of those guys, they're trying to convince themselves of things. With him, it's not that way. And right. Yeah, I've enjoyed getting to talk to him, get to know him over the years. And his trainer, Justin Gamber, runs a place out here on the west side of town. And every time I watch them fight, too, I have to say I'm impressed by Justin and the way he runs his corner. He's very calm and very clear with his instructions. And it really, you guys know me. I don't get caught up in, I always say I've lost touch with what it means to be a fan. But before the 12th round Sunday night, they had the camera in Caleb's corner, and it was pretty clear he was winning the fight. It would have been just highway robbery if for him not to get that decision. But Justin Gamber looked at him and said, "Do you want to be a world champion?" And Caleb took kind of a deep breath and nodded his head yes, and Justin said to him, he goes, "You give me one more good round." And that was all he said. And I kind of got chills down my back. And I even got caught up in that moment a little bit. It was pretty fun. So congratulations to everybody who knows and has supported Caleb along the way. And, that was something good for this town. He even gave Nashville a shout out in the ring when they interviewed him, after the fight, like his opening comment, he said something. I can't remember exactly what he said. And then he just sort of overcome with emotion. He just goes, "Nashville, stand up." So as far as I know, he's the first world boxing champion born and raised in Middle Tennessee. So.
And the next thing you know, David was out in the garage in the heavy bag.
Yeah, that's right. That's right, with the Rocky theme
down
playing.
Six raw eggs this morning before coming on the show.
Yeah, that's right. He put them all
in. He was chasing a chicken last night before he went to bed.
Hey, man, I believed all that
Yeah, sorry
stuff,
about
man.
That.
I did
Mark,
it all. I tried them all. Yeah. The eggs and the orange juice. Even chasing chicken.
We wanted one more good round.
Catch Grease Lightning.
Really? Crap Lightning.
Yeah. Grab Lightning.
We wanted one more good round from Vanderbilt last night and didn't get it. Vanderbilt did not execute down the stretch, to say the least. Too many missed free throws. They are in an 0-4 hole now in the SEC standings, a place they've never been before.
Yeah, and the free throw thing it's been a problem for them before. In a way, you feel a little better. I mean, Vanderbilt showed some determination. This was not the kind of game they like to play. I mean, this was physical and a lot of fouls called, and there was no real tempo and flow to this game. This was, in other words,
the kind of game Frank Martin
loves
to play.
This was Frank Martin ball, no question. I mean, this was a grind them out, and Vanderbilt hung in there and made some, you know, made some big buckets in the last 3 minutes or so, but the technical foul on Saban Lee was just just a brutal moment. Yeah, I mean, you can't do it. And it's funny, when I saw it live, I thought, oh, come on. He wasn't taunting the guy. He was just, but when you looked at the replay, it looked like he was looking right at the guy on the ground. And you had to call that. And that was, and, you know, South Carolina was down five at that point, made both free throws and then got the ball and made a 3-pointer. I mean, that's, they got the most out of that possession. That was really something. But I've got a piece going live here in a few minutes. Darius Garland becomes a better and better player now with each game that he doesn't play. Like, you just, you know, because this was a team that you're thinking was going to be one of the top, what, four or five teams in the conference? I mean, certainly you thought that this was a team that was going to be competitive every night. And now, I mean, you look at what they have coming up. They've got Mississippi State, Tennessee, Oklahoma, and Kentucky are the next four. Those are all top 25 teams.
Yeah, yeah. Four ranked teams to finish them off.
I mean, they could get to the end of this month without a win here, and
especially shooting those free throws like that.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, certainly Garland would be making a difference, but is it that much of a difference? I don't know. But if you're a Vanderbilt fan, that's all you can tell yourself is that, well, if Garland was playing, this would be a much different team. But
to me, it would have made a huge difference. But I still thought they were good enough to maybe go 500 in the SEC Really, they make some free throws, they would be 500 in the SEC, because you look at this game last night and the Ole Miss game, they probably would have won both those if it had shots.
The fact is, they're a guard short. Maybe two, you know, like, I mean, the only real guards they have are Garland, Saban Lee, and Max Evans, and Lee and Evans are not the prototype. You know, they're not your prototypical point guards. I mean, you have to believe the coaches knew, like, oh, the one position we can't get hurt is, you know, going into this thing is guard, and particularly Darius, and that's exactly what has happened to them.
And Joe Toy's kind of a guy who's in between.
Yeah,
and they haven't gotten the production out of him that they got in the non-conference. He was really good in the non-conference.
Yeah, and he looked lost at times last night. Now, he did take a hard fall, and they checked him for a concussion. They said, you know, there was no signs of anything, but he's having a much harder time getting his shot against SEC teams. There's no question about that. And
well, I think he has to step up too. I know he doesn't not carrying the ball. He's not the point guard, but they have to make a point of emphasis to get him the ball every time.
Well,
down court.
So, yeah, I was going to say that. Mm-hmm. I thought the same thing. And there was a possession early, maybe it was early in the second half, because I think it was in front of me, but I thought it was early in the game. But whatever, he got the ball just out past the free throw line a little bit, or the foul line a little bit, and he held the ball up high, and you could, with his size, you know, he can sort of look down. He can look over people, and he did. He made a nice pass into the low post, and they got an easy bucket out of it. And I thought the same thing. I thought, I realize you want that guy somewhere around the basket because he can score, but if he's your best passer, and I think he probably is the best passer right now, bring him out a little bit. Let things run through him, and because he can put the ball on the floor and attack the rim too, if he gets the right matchup. And you know, we've seen Bryce Drew the last couple of years sort of change his offense mid-season, and I think they're still trying to figure out what works best right now with this particular group of players, and that might be something to do.
Yeah, Chatou can do a lot of stuff. I think you got to figure out a way to maximize that guy, whether it's getting him up top and playing high-low or driving him or posting him. He can do some good things for you. More with David Beauclair from the Nashville Post. We'll ask about the offensive coordinator searches, multiple that are going on in this town. More Wake Up Zone coming up, 615-737-1045. First, we are time for a break. More Wake Up Zone right after this.
Zone.
Welcome back, 104.5 The Zone, 719. This is the Wake Up Zone. Our friend David Beauclair is with us. He's from the Nashville Post. He's presented by the Tennessee Lottery. Go by any Tennessee Lottery retailer. Have a little fun with instant games today. Getting with us instantly, 615-737-1045. Reach us on Twitter at WUZ1045. Anything new on the Titans coordinator search, Dave? And when do you expect something like that to possibly get done?
Yeah, not that I've heard. I mean, you'd figure it would get done sooner rather than later. I think you'd like to think that Mike Vrabel and or John Robinson, you know, knew that this was a possibility. They'd be looking for somebody like this. You know, you always have a list of guys. Hey, if something happens, this is somebody I'd want to talk to. But you know, I find it interesting that John Robinson has talked about, well, the need for continuity, how important it is to have some sort of continuity, and this from the this from the GM who fired his head coach and the whole staff after back to back winning seasons and a playoff win and everything else. I mean, if continuity was so important, I would have thought that would have been a good time to maintain it, but.
Well, what's interesting is Mularkey got fired with a mind for them to get more out of Marcus, right. and now the LaFleur, I think too many people are pigeonholing LaFleur and making a summary judgment after one season, and I don't know if that's entirely fair. But with all that being said, what direction do they go if they want to get the maximum out of Marcus? You would think they would follow a similar path and go with continuity. And I don't know if that's going to be an internal hire or if they're just waiting for the perfect guy. I thought interesting developments yesterday was DeFilippo getting hired at Jacksonville, which could be a hint that they're going to make a serious run at Nick Foles, whether it's by trade or otherwise. But, that was a guy who was being discussed, at least, by us in the media. And then now, one less candidate as far as that's concerned.
Yeah, and your point about maximizing Marcus and, what it's going to take to do that. And, is continuity the thing you're looking for there, I mean, it's a good point, but then you can say, well, the best we've seen of Marcus was 2 years ago when the Titans were committed to a more of a power running game and everything. And, so you think, well, maybe do you go back to doing that, which is at this point the opposite of continuity, by taking stuff off his or taking responsibility away from him and trying to rely more on the offensive line and the running backs. So, I mean, my guess is it sounds like the Titans are thinking like everybody else in the NFL is thinking. We want some piece of the Rams offense, we want to be doing that, which everybody else is doing. Obviously that's what the Packers were thinking. That's what the Bengals were thinking. You see it.
I think that
you see it spreading around the league like a virus right now.
Now, I'm not always the biggest Mike Martz fan, but I thought he said something that was spot on yesterday. And that is, these organizations have to stop trying to clone Sean McVay. There's right. only one Sean McVay. Go out and find, your own prodigy. He says, most of the time, if you start hiring around a certain coach, you don't get the coach, you don't get the coach they're working for. You get, different people with a different variation of that offense. Well, often.
Look at, what are we, 35, 40 years later, whatever it is, I still haven't seen another Bill Walsh. Right?
Or a Bill Belichick.
Yeah, I mean, how many?
He had Eric Mangini for one season with the Jets.
Yeah.
And all the other coaches that he sent out into the market have failed spectacularly. I mean, Josh McDaniels, Romeo Crennel, Matt Patricia ain't exactly killing it.
Charlie Weiss.
I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah. And I mean, Bill Walsh tree yes. has been more successful, but nobody, you know, no one has,
done the
same sort of, well, there was that, but, you know, and Andy Reid, for example, a Mike Holmgren, I mean, teams have gotten something done by trying to hire a Bill Walsh and what, you know, get in touch with the West Coast offense back in the day, but, you know, nobody won three Super Bowls like that, you know, or you've never seen another Joe Montana do some of the things he did. But, I agree that this idea that, well, it just must be a young guy who, you know, who is that's all we need. No, that's not necessarily. Like, I'm fascinated with the Broncos and what they did in hiring Vic Fangio, a guy who looked like maybe mm-hmm. his time had passed to be a head coach and
has had success in the league.
Yeah,
he actually coaches defense.
Is a well respected coach who has been in front of players and in all sorts of situations and is probably well prepared and it's interesting they took a page from the Titans playbook and that they got two of the guys they interviewed, you know, because Mike Munchak by all accounts was the runner up for that job, and the one thing we know about Munchak from his time here is one of his great strengths was as a communicator, you know, and that's the thing that all these young guys. It's great to know the science of the offense. Can you convey it? Can you teach it? Can you spell out the entire game plan and your mission for the week?
Well, can you also manage a football team?
Yeah.
through a 16 game season, you know, the four preseason games and all that other stuff. Now, I thought that turned out to be one of Vrabel's greatest strengths was managing this team. Some of his in-game decisions came back to bite him, and you know that's a totally different thing. But as far as what you're saying, and I know that we've talked about this amongst ourselves, if I stood up 3 weeks ago and told you that Cliff Kingsbury was going to be the coach, you know, with the Cardinals, you guys would have institutionalized me.
Absolutely.
I would have said you thought outside the box.
way outside the box.
I've tried to have you institutionalized for a lot of things.
No, really, to no avail.
I can't ever get him to come over here and pick you up.
It's a weird time, man.
But weirdly, I have. If I were wagering, I almost think that'll work out better than like Matt LaFleur or the Cincinnati guy, or you know, like Kingsbury at least has been a head coach. He understands sort of the big picture thing. I don't know if any of these if any of these other guys understand that yet, or to what degree at least they understand it. Kingsbury went and got Vance Joseph. That's an NFL guy, you know, who will help him sort of navigate the ins and outs of
coaching pro football. All right, so what about Adam Gase with the Jets? It's a very, very safe, you know, choice. You had a chance to get Mike McCarthy. And why these general managers want to micromanage and tell a coach who he should have on his staff, especially a guy like Mike McCarthy, you know, who's been in the league for a long time, is beyond me. Now, you know, Matt Rhule, the Baylor coach, decided that he was not going to let a general manager pick his staff. And I say, you know, good for you. Because if you're going to fail with your guys. Fail with the guys that you chose.
David Beauclair is our guest from the Nashville Post. 728 the time here on 104.5 The Zone. The Predators hope not to fail with the guys they chose. They play the Jets tonight in a big game over at Bridgestone. Get David's thoughts on that when we come back. More Wake Up Zone. Just ahead, Blaine. Tell us about Eurofix.
Yes, if you've ever been frustrated with whoever worked on your vehicle because you weren't allowed to go back to the service bay and talk to the technician to show them the problem, well, then you have to bring it back for a second, third, maybe even fourth time to get the same thing fixed. That's annoying. Can't you tell? Blaine Bishop here to tell you about Eurofix. Eurofix takes the irritation out of auto repair on European vehicles. Eurofix is also happy to take you back to their service bays in the back of the shop because their technicians try to be personable and show you that it's clean back here. No oil puddles, dirt, trash, or grime all over the floor to ruin your your clothes or shoes right. And if you felt lied to by other repair centers, come to Eurofix. You don't need an appointment like others insist. Just drop on in. Because Eurofix provides you a free rental car with every repair, plus a three-year, yes, three-year, 36,000-mile nationwide warranty on every repair you drive away from, with a lot of confidence, of course. So for Eurofix, you need to give them a call at 844-EUROFIX. That's 844-EUROFIX, or you can visit them online at eurofix.com.
.45 The Zone, 735. This is the Wake Up Zone. David Beauclair is with us from the Nashville Post, presented by the Tennessee Lottery. They have raised more than $4.7 billion for education. I'd like you to join us here at 615-737-1045 on Twitter at WUZ1045. Dave, before we talk Preds, what do you got going on over at Nashville Post? You mentioned a story you have about to go live here in just a little bit.
Yeah, I've got the piece about Darius Garland and just... You know, he's played 4+ games for Vanderbilt. That's probably all he's ever going to play, and he's going to go down as one of the greatest in program history because of what has happened in the time that he's gone. I had a piece yesterday. Grant Williams and Admiral Schofield in position to do something that hasn't been done in a while. Right now, they are 1-2 in the SEC in scoring. You got to go back to. Vanderbilt, as a matter of fact, John Jenkins, Jeff Taylor, to find the last time two players from the same school finished the season 1-2 in the SEC in scoring. Had a piece from the other Preds piece off the other night. Victor Arvidsson is scoring goals. If he'd been playing the whole season, he'd be battling for the league lead in goals right now based on his goals per game average. The only person averaging more goals per game is Alex Ovechkin, who actually leads the league in goals right now. So we've got some interesting. I've had a fun week digging through numbers and finding some things there. And Ugo, got to give a shout out to local guy Ugo Amadi, a finalist for the Lombardi Award, which is the best college football player regardless of position. One of 7 finalists. He's a safety. Played cornerback first couple of years. Been a safety at Oregon the last couple of years. And
he went to Overton.
Yeah, exactly. He's up against Kyler Murray, for example. Jonah Williams, an Alabama offensive lineman. It's an interesting group. That award will be handed out next Friday. And don't forget, if you're looking for a distraction midday, Luke Kornet and your New York Knicks.
Oh, they're playing overseas,
playing in London today, 2:00 on NBA TV. So a little midday basketball for
you. Wow.
Kornet had a big Q&A with some European basketball website that I pulled some stuff from, talking about how he actually, you know, thought he might have to play in Europe at some point, but he's managed to make himself an NBA player here 2 years removed from school. So good for him.
He fits the game now, though. I mean, you know, big man who can shoot.
Yeah.
Perimeter, shoot threes and from distance. I mean,
had a pretty good season.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
It's a little more than, I think, 2/3 of the buckets he's made have been 3-pointers this year.
Those big men, they don't want to go outside in that area, in that space.
But he's got Enes Kanter on the bench, of all things, if the Knicks trying to change things up
there. He needs to tell him, I need to match his contract. Yeah. His contract is old, too, by the way. Yeah, they just throw money around there on the NBA.
You know, Kanter always seems like he's got a lot of drama going on, doesn't he?
Yeah, especially now. Because he didn't make the trip to London, I guess, because he's afraid to get arrested. And, you know, it's quite a thing.
The stuff with Kanter is just insane.
He's like if Borat decided to play basketball.
Borat. The Preds on the ice tonight, game 2 of this homestand. They, of course, wiped out the Washington Capitals on Tuesday 7-2. But now a game that's more important in terms of the bigger picture, one with division rival Winnipeg, which is 2 points ahead. Nashville's played 2 more games. We've talked about the speed versus speed should be an entertaining game to watch. I said earlier, in a one-shot deal playing at home tonight, kind of like the Preds' chances – in a 7-game series, if you get these guys again in the playoffs, I still have my doubts. How do you feel?
Winnipeg looks good, and you know, Mark, you talked about it, and I think we said it a couple of weeks ago that, I mean, these are the two teams now. I mean, the Central Division is still good enough that the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh is going to be a really compelling race, too, to the finish. But these, but Nashville and Winnipeg are
the gap
sort of off
big.
And running,
sort of separated
and
themselves.
You know, in the Pacific Division, it's three teams that are running wild. It at the top of the conference, there's five. But here's why this game is important, at least to Nashville tonight. You know, these teams play four times in the regular season. Preds won the first one really early on, 3-0. This is the last time Winnipeg is going to be here during the regular season.
Oh, statement game then.
The next two games are both in March in Winnipeg. Mm. So you want to, if you're the Predators, you're thinking we're going to see these guys in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Whether we have four games here or three games here, they're going to be coming here in the playoffs, and you want to put a memory in their minds, mm-hmm, that this is not a fun place to be. This is not a place they are going to be looking forward to coming. So I think for the Predators that needs to be their mindset tonight, is to plant that seed that, yeah, you guys aren't going to like coming
here.
Protect
this home
time.
Ice.
Yeah.
Protect it.
What about the flip-flopping of defensemen putting Josi and Subban together and Ellis and Ekholm?
My guess is that was more to try and help Ryan Ellis. Because Ellis has been fine defensively. You know, his offense hasn't come around this year. You know, he and Ekholm have obviously played together a lot. And Ekholm, I wrote this week too, you know, it Ekholm is finally no longer is the third tenor, or, you know, like, mm-hmm, I mean, he's always sort of been the other guy among Nashville's top four defensemen.
Now.
And now you're seeing, wow, this is how good this guy really can be. And just imagine if all four of those guys were at their best at the same time. I mean, Josi is Josi right now. Ekholm's better than he's ever been, but Ellis isn't quite as good as we've seen the last couple of years. Subban looks like he's still hurting. So, I mean, the timing is really good for Ekholm to be this good. And I think the thinking was probably, let's put Ellis with him and maybe he can pull Ellis up at this point. I think it works okay because Subban is not Subban, though, and that he's not, you don't see him skating the puck and taking off and carrying, doing some of the things he normally does, because I think he's still not quite right physically. Now, if he's 100% and Josi's 100%, then it's harder because they both want to do the same thing. And there was actually a moment in the first period the other night. Subban had the puck just on Nashville's side of center ice. Josi was along the right wing, right at the Washington blue line, and the Caps were changing, and they could have caught them. And Josi was calling for the puck, and all Subban had to do was move it up to him, and Josi could attack the way he does. And instead, PK just kind of put his head down and skated the puck all the way into the offensive end. And by the time he got there, the Caps had recovered. So that, you know, those are the kinds of things they have to work out, because you know, Josi and Subban are a little too similar. Remember, they tried this PK's first year here. What was it, 2016?
Yeah.
They tried it for parts of the first three games, and it didn't work well together. But it certainly worked well Tuesday night. Peter Laviolette said he's inclined to stick with it for a little while. So we'll see.
David Beauclair, he's from the Nashville Post. Find his great work at NashvillePost.com. Brought to you by the Tennessee Lottery. 7:43 the time on 104.5 The Zone. Ask David about the conference championship games in the NFL when we come back. Get a thought or two on those two matchups this weekend. More Wake Up Zone up next. First, Mark, set out I-40 to Wilson County. Tell us more.
That's right. Payne Bone and his staff getting it done at Wilson County Hyundai over at 1310 West Main Street in Lebanon off exit 236 off Highway 40, they have great deals on all remaining 2018 models in stock. But hurry, these deals won't last long, and they won't be beat on price. And, of course, Payne is pumped about the 2019s. They're in, they're great, and you'll love the value. Wilson County Hyundai also has an award-winning service department. It works on all makes and models and is open on Saturday also. You'll love buying a car at Wilson County Hyundai because they treat customers like family. In fact, Wilson County Hyundai has been recognized with the Better Business Bureau's Torch Award for ethical commerce. Also, as soon as you step on the lot, be sure to ask for the pain discount. And Wilson County Hyundai offers peace of mind, too. Every purchase comes with the best warranty in America, 10 years or 100,000 miles, and Hyundai Assurance, and the Wilson County Motors Bone Family Tradition since 1927. Wilson County Hyundai, great people, great deals, fantastic service in nearby Lebanon.
Good to have you here for the Wake Up Zone on 104.5 The Zone. David Beauclair from the Nashville Post is in the house, always during the 7 o'clock hour on Thursday, brought to you by the Tennessee Lottery. By the way, we're less than an hour away from Take 3.
Oh, take. I love surprise.
I got them right here, all three questions.
Yeah, Bogey's ready too.
Yeah, David, I think, would probably have a little more... even more pep in his step if his Philadelphia Eagles are playing this weekend. But
that hurts you to the core, huh? It's okay. You guys won it last year. You can seal it off of that.
That's exactly right. It was fine, and they got a lot more out of this season than I expected. I mean, I left them for dead probably about week 13. Yeah, honestly, I mean, I didn't right. I didn't think they had it in them to to do that this year. And yeah. I was impressed they got as far as they did. So. That was all right.
Yeah. Before we start talking about a little bit, I guess, about the playoff games there, the NFL, I got two questions on the hockey side of it. Why isn't this game, the Predators and Jets, a nationally televised game? And number two is, you think the Predators maybe mix it up a little bit and do a little trading, or no?
I think they will certainly explore trades. I don't think anybody can be sitting here on January 17th or whatever saying, yeah, we're good. Yeah, we're as good as we need to be. Not as inconsistent as this season. That's the thing that's different this year, is the inconsistency, where you go to Detroit. Yes, they got that game to overtime, but they were never going to win that game. Then you string together a couple good ones, and then you just terrible at Carolina and sensational against Washington. And the last couple of years, this team's performances have been much more even. You know, even games that they lost, you always felt like they were in them. There's been more games this season where you're just thinking they got no chance tonight. And I think they need to do something to try and balance out those highs and lows now. What that's going to be, I don't know, because I think there's going to be a lot more buyers than sellers, which is usually the case in the NHL. But there's going to be more teams that are desperate for help than the Predators are, which is going to be driving up the prices. We've talked about Wayne Simmonds on here, and I still think that makes perfect sense if you can make it happen. But what do you give up to get him? If I'm the Philadelphia Flyers, I say, okay, we're starting with Ely Tolvanen. And, you know, and if I'm David Poile, I'm saying, well, I'm not going to give you Ely Tolvanen. What do you, you know, and I think it's going to have to go from there.
The problem with the Preds is that they don't have a bevy of tradable assets.
Right.
So unless they're going to trade somebody off their roster, unless they decide to trade Fiala or somebody like that, then it's going to be hard for David to bring in a guy like Wayne Simmonds. Now, I could see him trading, you know, a fourth or a fifth round draft pick for a player that might hit. But you know, and he's done that with mixed success over the years. But I think his problem is they don't want to trade their number one pick again.
Right.
They've done that too much. They've got to, they got to replenish their system. They've got to get, better, more good young players. And it's hard to do that every year without a first round draft pick.
You're exactly right. And that's why I would say with the Flyers, and I would assume virtually every conversation David Poile has is going to start with somebody saying, well, we really liked Tolvanen. You know, and David Poile's going to say, yeah, I do too. you just think about, you look at the Predators right now and Philip Forsberg. I mean, basically that's what teams are trying to do, the reverse right there. And I'm sure, you know, Philip Forsberg is a reminder to David Poile that, you know, be careful about giving up a young guy who hasn't played in the NHL yet, because it can be, when guys like that hit, they can really hit. And
Forsberg
has
really
Forsberg has hit big. Yes, he has paid off huge.
Yeah, and then, about the you know televised game. I mean, it's the two best in the West. You would say, right? You guys said it's like a big separation.
To me, this would have been a lot more attractive game than this showing that game last week when the Preds played a Chicago.
Yeah,
I don't know how it all works. You guys know better than me.
I don't really understand
TV. TV. Winnipeg's not a big TV.
Watch this. They don't have flex. Yeah. They can't flex other games.
Yeah. We have announced we're going to flex this game to Wednesday.
Catch up with the times there, NHL man. Come on.
Yeah. Last minute here, give us a thought or two on the championship games on Sunday. What are you looking for?
Well, the idea that defense wins championships is officially dead.
Oh my.
We have the four highest scoring offenses from the regular season still playing. First time that's ever happened. And I have to admit that hurts my feelings a little bit. I've always enjoyed the good low scoring
grind it out.
Just tough physical playoff games, and I think these are going to be great games. Hopefully, they're a lot better than last week's
games. It better be.
That was surprising.
We didn't get a whole lot last weekend,
and
man.
That's usually a fantastic weekend of football. That was surprising, but I like the Chiefs and the Rams. You know, they were the best teams early. They're healthier. I think they've got the most balance. That's the way I think it's going to go. But not much that I've thought is going to happen in these playoffs has happened. So
I got a bad feeling about that game in Arrowhead.
Patriots, yeah.
Rise up and do it.
We can't say his name.
Yeah, I don't even want to say his name.
I saw that Julian Edelman is now second all time to Jerry Rice in career playoff receptions.
Oh, that's awesome.
Now, he's not even close to Rice, but he's second.
That's what happened when you have a great quarterback.
You could have given me, and you go to the championship, the championship game every year. But you would have given me 25 guesses. I wouldn't have gotten
it wrong, too.
No.
It was unbelievable.
That is remarkable.
He still needs to shave his beard, though. I mean, he he's Model S type guy, man. Come on.
For sure. David, have a great day.
All right. Thanks for having me. Everybody, take care.
You too. Our time goes fast. David Beauclair, presented by the Tennessee Lottery, proud to have raised more than $4.7 billion for education. The one that got away, huge game for the Preds, hurts to Norman. We'll talk all about it when we come back. More Wake Up Zone on the other side.